Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Oceano Community Services District Board Meeting of March 23rd, 2005, and our special meeting of March 23rd, 2005. And this is kind of an unusual situation, as we have a regular meeting and a special meeting concurrently scheduled. And what I'd like to do is adjourn the special meeting until the completion of the regular meeting.
The technical term is suspend.
Excuse me. Thank you, Alex. I would like to suspend the special meeting until after the regular meeting. So I apologize for the confusion in the concurrent scheduling. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Dan.
Here.
Director Angela.
Here.
Director Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute. Could I ask Mike Steinhauser to lead us, please?
Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Brings us to item three, board member items for discussion. I have one item for discussion, and that is that I owe Mr. Cooney a personal and public apology. I used inappropriate profane language in a discussion that I had with him, and there's some background to that that I'd like to mention just briefly, relating to an issue that came up at the last meeting, where the property owner who had appeared here, if you'll recall, had been threatened before by the district on letterhead paper with some issues, and then had been approached by one of our directors to allow the staff to save face to try to negotiate an agreement where the property owner would give up her rights. And Vern called the property owner immediately prior to last meeting and suggested that if she didn't go along with his proposal to save face for the staff, that he could use his authority to delay her project. The property owner called me Saturday to say that she'd received a letter from the district sent after the meeting saying that there would be more delays to her project. So I called the general manager on his caller ID district cell phone and got no answer. I called back that I would not tolerate mistreatment of people and residents in the district, and if necessary, that I would gather support and clear him and his friends out of the district. But I used vulgar and profane language to make my point, and for that, I apologize, Mitch. I had no right to do that. I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry that I used that language in discussing that issue with you. But I stand by the point that I made. Other board member items for discussion?
I don't have anything.
I'll save mine for later, Mr. Gray.
Not too much, but I don't know if any of the people in the public have noticed our bridge over here, Highway 1, and goes over the railroad tracks. It seems like it's sinking a little bit as you drive over from this side going over, with also a lack of handicap accessibility going over the bridge. I've just been paying a little bit more attention to it as my vehicle goes over it, and it seems like it's dropping a little bit more. So my get the public involved in that.
I'd like to respond a little bit to that accusation that you levied against me here tonight. There was no threat. I had never, ever have I threatened anybody. I have not told anyone that I would use my authority to do anything negative to any person in this district. I heard of this accusation. It would have been nice if you would have come to me ahead of time instead of trying to make a public issue out of this. It is completely out of my character. I would never do anything like that. And immediately upon hearing that this accusation was levied, I went over to the deans and talked with them. And it is true that at that time, they did feel that that I had made some kind of a
I'm here to say this, but the flooding yesterday that we had. We're not responsible for Highway 1, I understand that, but I really feel that what happened down there by Caltrans undid what we did last month, taking care of the drainage when we paid Aurora Grandy to come and clean out the culvert and that little thing. And I've seen pictures today and software. Caltrans just kind of took their little grader, their little machine, or whatever you call that little toy they have, went down the street and scooched it right back into the ditch and into the culvert, and it's covered up. I'm not siding with Mr. Bookout or Max and his wife's business, but what I feel is that what they did was jeopardizing the businesses in Oceano, not siding with any one individual. I'm not. I know it's not our power. But I really think we need to address that, and I would hope, if we haven't already done it, to hire Aurora Grandy again to come and bail us out.
The levee has been cleared.
The what?
The levee, the area has been cleared. We, I think Mr. Bookout took some pictures.
I did take some pictures today.
The community, there. Our crew down there taking the...
They took care of it?
This, yes.
I'm very glad, because there was a lot of rain in a short period of time. Because I know where I was, I ended up in like half hour had an inch of water that I was sitting in. And, it just came down too fast.
I appreciate your comment. And this, I heard that this year is the highest total of rain on record since 1880-something. It set a new record already for rain total. And Caltrans, unfortunately, did us no favor by grading the dirt, as you mentioned, ahead of that drainage ditch. Blocking the drainage and flooding the local businesses in Oceano and blocking transport, unfortunately, on Highway 1 and possibly again delaying our emergency response south of that intersection if it was necessary to respond quickly down there. So your point is very well taken, Barbara.
Thank you.
Brings us to item number 4, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board listened to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. And I respectfully request that you keep your comments to 3 minutes because there's a lot of people here tonight, and I will be trying to hold you to that 3 minutes. So with that said...
Mr. Hill, I would like to step off the board for a minute, speak under public comment to address the flooding problem on my section of Highway 1 where it would be a violation of the Brown Act if I was to sit on the board and talk about that within 500 feet of my business. So if you would mind if I had to go first.
Okay. Can I allow Director Bookout to make a personal comment first?
Good evening. I've taken some pictures, which you can see a few pictures up over on the board over here. Our personnel today went down and cleaned out a section of eucalyptus branches and did a great job removing that, and I'm very appreciative of that. However, the maintenance program down here is not working. We had a meeting here in January, and nothing has happened from that meeting. Yesterday, with the flooding of Highway 1, it was got a little hectic down there. I was a little bit worried about my nursery flooding again. Caltrans came out, and they graded. You can see on the pictures up here, and I will pass out these pictures around the board in just a second. They graded Highway 1 again without removing the dirt that they had previously pulled a retaining wall out of. It's Caltrans's right-of-way property, and the dirt's coming into Highway 1, and they're using a grading device to come in and grade it. Instead of removing this dirt that's on Highway 1, Caltrans decided to grade it into our drainage ditch and expose of it that way. Well, that's sedimentation. Caltrans has a long history of removing this sedimentation in this drainage ditch, and they even have a study that goes back to 1988 where they had changed the whole drainage system there for us but chose not to do it for some reason. So I'm going to pass the pictures around. You'll also notice the eucalyptus trees in a couple of these pictures that are dying down there. This is due to those prior boards weed abatement of this area, and I believe there were some chemicals sprayed on the base of the trees to keep the growth from coming up, if I remember right. We have trees dying. It's a benefit to the community, but I can no longer be here. So what I have done is I've listed my property down there, and I'm hoping that someone will come and buy my property and continue the nursery that I've done, and I'll just go into Pismo and probably move forward to San Luis Obispo. But with that, that's all I really have to say.
Thank you. Other public comment?
Yeah, President Hill, Mark Wampler, Oceano board members. I attended last Zone 11A meeting, and this is my first meeting to attend, and I am very, very, very concerned about the clean out of the Rio Grande Creek and what the implication is it's going to be financially, not only on the five cities area, but as the way things are turning out, it will probably bankrupt several people within the zone itself because of the $2.5 million proposed budget of this Rio Grande clean out. And the way that I'm looking at this, from what I gathered from the meeting, is the biggest stumbling block is the Endangered Species Act. And speaking with a person, a 20-year career employee here of the county who has firsthand and hands-on knowledge of cleaning out that creek, told me that with the service crews, CMC, and the Conservation Corps, in about a week's time with two D8 bulldozers, they could have it done within less than a week. And that was his take on it, and that has been done in the times past. However, since the enactment of this Endangered Species Act, we have a whole gamut of problems that we face. And I'm not so sure that the public is really aware of what's coming down the pike that is soon going to be upon us within just a few days. The protest period will be up by April 1st. That means that the state will take it over. If I'm not mistaken, the state will take this over. That budget will come in into play, and there's nothing stopping it. But I'm here just to wave a red flag at it. I did at that meeting. And I just have a few questions. Since silt removal is part of the overall project, how can it be removed without also removing the vegetation that's part of the habitat of these subject creatures? What are the definitions of what constitute a habitat for these creatures? And what physical area will be defined to the habitat within the creek, or for that matter, the whole creek? And what studies have been conducted to define the living conditions in the creek before the cleanout project begins? And if such study concludes that a large part of the creek must remain intact, how should we then proceed with the cleanout project? What mechanism would be used to monitor the ongoing cleanout and maintenance to ensure that the species will remain unharmed? And has there been any sum of funds set aside to pay for the monitoring of the safety of these creatures? Now, you could add on and on for the list. I know my time is about out. What I'm saying here is that we have a real critical situation here. It needs to be addressed. And I'm trusting that some action can be taken by the public. I'm just making this aware. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I see that we have Tom Martin here from the garbage company. Welcome, Tom.
Hello. I'm Tom Martin from the garbage company. I wanted to apologize for missing the meeting last week. I had talked to Arroyo Grande, and they said they were going to hire Mr. Statler, the consultant, to review the thing again, and I just assumed that it would be April or May before we got around to doing it, and I failed to call Mitch and talk to him about it. So I apologize for missing the meeting, and that's entirely my fault. The last time I was here, we had some discussions about comparing accounts that were not on the rolls. The results of that were that we found 72 accounts that were not, that were on the Oceano books that were not on my records. Seven of them were vacant lots. Nine of them became new customers. Four of them were demo permits had been pulled, and 52 of them had service at a different address, a lot of it being like Duna Vista, which is on 16th and Wilmar. They have their water meter on 16th, but their garbage service on Wilmar. So, but of the 72, we ended up with nine new customers, so I just wanted to report that to you. And I had projected that we'd have 28 new customers by this time this year, and we're still about 12 off of that. So it's within the guidelines of the base year summation stuff I had done. That's all I have to say. And I do apologize, and I will make the next one.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Does anyone in the house, the anyone from the public have questions for Tom?
Thank you.
I have a question for Tom. Not in the
week. When you're paying the government, it's going to be cleanup week, April 11th through the 15th. Down in South County.
How does that work? What does the residents of Oceano need to do?
Every resident is entitled to put out 12 extra cans worth over and above their waste wheeler. It just needs to be boxed or bagged or bundled so that the guys can pick it up. And anything you put on the curb will be taken away unless you put a tag on it that says, please save. I mean, whatever you put out there is going to be gone.
What about oil?
Oil collection we collect every week. You just call the office and say, I need an oil container so that I can and put it in. It has to be in the approved thing to be put on the curb. If you don't have one, just call the office. They'll get you one. And you can put it out once a week and have it hauled away virtually year-round.
It's no charge, additional
There's charge. No charge. It's a program funded by the IWMA.
Okay.
One other question. One of the residents mentioned to me that they were having problems getting certain sizes of waste receptacles. Is there any shortage of those? Or
no, the manufacturer delayed us about 2 weeks, but they came in about 2 weeks ago, I think, so that we should have every single size.
Great.
And tell them to call Tom up at San Luis Garbage if they continue to have problems, and we'll take care of it up there because we have some spares up in San Luis as well.
During cleanup week, can people put out small appliances and so as well? Or?
We collect small appliances for $5 a pop. But you have to call the office because it's a separate vehicle that comes around and collects those because we've got to take them to a different place and take out the mercury switches and evacuate all the hazardous stuff now.
I had some metal pieces in my personal garbage can. They're big, 6-foot-tall metal pieces. Does the garbage company not pick those up? They were thrown out of my can.
Because it's the automated truck, if there's anything with a lid not down or if it's a container, they'll end up flying all over the place. So that you need to cut them up so they fit in the container.
Okay.
And as long as it's with the lid closed, they'll take them. They won't even notice them. But it just makes it difficult when they stick way above the height of the thing because it tends to fall out.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you.
And again, to reiterate that the waste collection week in Oceano would be the week of income taxes. That's the week of April 15th. Brings us to any other public comment?
Max Padilla, Oceano Market. I'd just like to mention something about the flooding. I think I'm probably the earliest person besides the fire department here in Oceano to be in Oceano. I get here about 5:30 in the morning, and this week Caltrans didn't show up till about 10 or 11 o'clock, and it was pretty well flooded out there. And the problem we're having now is the people are trying to avoid the flooding site, and they veer off to the left lane, and I've witnessed about almost three accidents there. People heading north and people heading south, they veer off to try to avoid that flooding area. They didn't put up any signs, not until about 11 o'clock. There was no warnings about flooding or anything like that. So I don't know why at this time they didn't respond. Normally they're there they know it's rained it over the night, and they're there early in the morning, but this time they didn't respond. Another thing I'd like to report is that on this 11A zone, I believe that Mr. Cottrell is going to attend the Oceano Improvement Association and address that at the next meeting, which is on April the 14th. So anybody here that's present that would like to attend that, I think we could pursue this by addressing it with Cottrell, and it has to do something with the flooding and also with the creek. Last, I'd like to say, I'd like to thank the president for bringing up at this meeting the issue that board members have had with members of the community that are affected by some of the actions of the board. I think it's important. I think we should know what affects the board as well as the public. And this is what these meetings are about, bringing out in the open so that we can support those folks who need that help. We are not going to allow a citizen or a person from Oceano to stand here alone and not get support from the public. I think it's important that it's brought out at these meetings, and I commend the president for bringing it out in the open, that about Pamela Dean.
Thank you, Matt. To reiterate, the April 14th Oceano Improvement Association meeting, that'll be here, and I believe it'll be at 6:30. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Hi, Mary Lucy Oceano. I have several things to comment, but first what I'd like to comment on is, you know, I relocated up to the Oceano area after living in my home in Los Angeles for 30 years. And you know, when you live in a home for 30 years, you really have to make a conscious decision to uproot your family. 100 miles away, he was at my home immediately, along with Gina Davis. She was right there. They were all looking in the neighborhood for the people who had tagged and destroyed the property. I called Mr. Hill. Mr. Hill and Mr. Mark Wampler were immediately over there attempting to match the paint, because being from the city, I realize what happens when two gangs collide. And look, they ain't doing it on my corner. You know, Napomo and 18th Street, it ain't happening on my corner, because the citizens and the local government came together to address the situation and saw it more than just just destroying private property. They saw it as a community issue. And you know, there's not a lot times when you can see collaborations like that come together, and I really want to applaud everybody for that. And I still don't regret a moment moving into this community. Secondly, Mr. Hill, I am so sorry that you have been driven to that level of frustration. A lot of people in the community have been driven to the point of wanting to cuss, you know. And because you're an elected official, you can't cuss in public, but you didn't cuss in public, you passed in private, you know. So I'm sorry that you've been driven to the point of having to express yourself with a cuss word, you know, because it makes it all of us feel really icky, you know. So I'm sorry that you felt that way, but a lot of people in the community have felt that way. And also, too, is I hold leadership in this community accountable for Highway 1. This is an embarrassment. Nobody wants to take responsibility. I swear, I wish we could hand out plaques for passing the buck. Come on now. You know, first of all, we can't put any signs out there to slow these people down so they don't kill our kids, right? And then we have to swim to get out of town. No wonder people are leaving the businesses. But it's odd that it's almost like intentional to some degree, you know, and call me a conspiracy theorist or whatever, right? But why is it that business is not coming into this small little beach town? And I think it's because of the leadership. And I think it's time that as elected officials, you need to decide what side of the fence you're going to be on. Are you going to be on the future, or are you going to live in the past? Thanks.
Thank you. Other public comments?
Nina Grabiel, Oceano. First, I want to say, I believe at your last meeting, I didn't come, but I saw it on tape, and I think Mark Wampler asked about the status of the contract with AGP, and President Hill asked that the item be placed on this meeting's agenda, and it's not on there. So I just want to know what's going on with that, and because it really appears that OCSD is stalling on coming up with an agreement. and that the cost of that stall is being borne by Mr. Matthews, who is paying out of his own personal pocket for his crew and to take these meetings. So I think whatever contract you agree upon, you should have payments to AGP be retro to no later than 1 month after the board had agreed to negotiate a contract with AGP, because it really seems unfair that Steve should have to pay for OCSD not getting its act together. That's not fair. Second, I want to clarify what I've heard members of this board tell me, and that's that Gina Davis cannot be fired because she is tenure. I want to educate some people here. I think usually the term tenure applies to faculty at educational institutions, and that according to the Labor Department, personnel who have passed their probationary period may be classified as permanent employees, yet under California law, and California is an at-will state, and even permanent employees can be fired at will. So if there's some other kind of contract or mechanism whereby Ms. Davis attained permanent status and cannot be fired, I really suggest that you actually see it in writing before you start spreading any more false rumors, because it really makes you guys look ignorant when you do that. Third, I hate to bring this to your attention, but when I went to review the corrections to the minutes a few weeks ago, Gina gave me a stack of papers about this thick in a binder, with no markers or tabs to indicate when the different meetings, you know, the dates of the different meetings. And I just find it appalling that after more than 20 years on the job, Gina hasn't figured out a mechanism where one can just instantly find the material for a meeting date. You just open the binder, oh, here's the date of the meeting, and here's the date of the other meeting. You know, you can just find it easily. Instead of having to thumb through pages and pages and pages of documents trying to figure out where one meeting starts and the other meeting ends, I've never seen any kind of record keeping like that. And it appears that it's either just gross incompetence or an attempt to frustrate and thwart the public, or any board member for that matter, who wants to get information about those meetings. It doesn't take Einstein to insert a little tab with the date at the start of each record of the meetings. So her current system is non-existent, it's ridiculous and inexcusable. And finally, it has been brought to the attention of your staff and members of this board by myself and other members of the public that there is no indication on the will serve letter that any fees may be due to others what you would want for yourselves.
Thank
anyone
you.
Who tries
everyone to hold the 3 minutes, and I've held the previous speakers to 3 minutes. I'm going to ask you to recognize the 3 minutes. Thank you very much. Other public comment?
Pamela Dean from Oceano. And I didn't expect to be speaking here again tonight, but I do want to thank President Hill for standing up for me. It's really the first time that this has happened in since I came to Oceano. And I'm sorry he had to use bad language, but it was a breath of fresh air to finally have some help from this board. And I can't tell you how much of a difference it makes. So I want to thank you. I want to say this is what we should have had a long time ago, and this is what we need to work toward in the future. We need to make things right in this community. We need to make the rules the same for everyone. And I just want to thank you for being there. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment?
Hi, I'm from Pismo Beach. My name's Dee Gonzalez, and I happened to watch this on TV. And I was very impressed because right now I'm in litigation with the city of Pismo Beach, and I've been out of my home for like 2 years because of damages. And to see a board that works with people like this lady, I mean, you are so lucky to have someone like that. I wanted to be present at this meeting today, and I think you guys are awesome. I think you're doing a great job just from watching it and talking with community members. Members, and I'm also thinking about buying over here and getting out of Pismo, so I thought I'd come by. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. Other public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5, review and approval of the minutes from the March 9th meeting. I do note that there was a mention of the AGP contract there, and I have to apologize because in reviewing the draft minutes, I did not see that that was not on the agenda, and I had hoped it would be.
Well, is there a contract now, Mr. Hill?
I don't know if there is or not.
There is a contract. The contract is with AGP to be signed.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Apparently, the contract is with AGP to be signed. So, can we make an agenda item, please, for the next meeting to announce whether the contract's been approved and in place? Thank you. Any comment? Other comment on the minutes? Any comment from the public on the minutes? Hearing none, I'll look for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Okay, I heard Director Dahl first make the motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
And Director Angelo second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Administrative items, item 6A, financial statements for the period ending February 28th. Gina?
Yes, in your packet, you have the revenue and expenditure summary for 67% year, and I apologize, there is an error on the at the bottom of the page where it states that there is an excess of revenues over expenditures. The actual revenues today are $1,674,950, and the expenditures are $1,717,573. So we do have an excess of expenditures versus revenues at this point. This is normal at this time of year where we use our reserves because we may need to be paying on the State Water Project and on the Lopez Project. And we get our second installment of the property taxes that come in March and April, so we'll leave them out again.
Thank you. Any questions, comments from the board? Comment, questions from the public? Hearing none, we'll receive and file, please. Item 6B is contract amendment number 4 between the County of San Luis Obispo, Oceana Community Center Incorporated, and OCSD.
Mr. President, this
OCSD basically consider the general manager's recommendation that we approve the contract agreement. Is there any further comment or discussion from the board? Questions?
That looks pretty good to me.
Me also. Dave?
I think I just might mention that I think these funds that are becoming available are funds that somebody else in the county wasn't able to use, and so that's how they were funded to our project in the county.
Are there any other consent? Okay. I note that item 16, page 7 of the proposal, the county has got their insurance pretty well covered on this item. How is OCSD covered for insurance?
We have reviewed that, and our insurance policy covers that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Is there any comment from the public on this item? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. And I guess we'll look for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve it.
Okay, we have.
Dave
seconds.
We have a motion from Director Bookout and a second from Director Angelo to approve the contract amendment number 4 between the County of San Luis Obispo, the OCCI, and OCSD for additional funds, county public facility fees for the construction of the Oceana Community Center. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Bookout?
Here.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
President Hill, just by way of announcement, you recall a couple of weeks ago you authorized staff to negotiate the management agreement with OCCI. We anticipate bringing that to you for approval at your next meeting.
Good. Thank you. Can we make sure that that'll be on the agenda. Brings us to item 6C, discussion of the goals established during the January 05 goal setting meeting, and consideration of the goals defined in January as they relate to the 2005-2006 budget process. And Barbara, you asked that this item be brought up at this time?
I mean, you know, we start something and then we just drop it, and I thought it needed to be finished because it is necessary for the annual budget to have the goals. The list is shorter than it was originally, but I think because some of the things were taken care of.
Okay. I looked at the list that was in my packet, and there's I don't know. It looks like there's a couple of things possibly misprints on here that just ended up on my copy about water, sewer repairs, and then park monies and that kind of thing. But I think the goals were generally well stated, but some of the detail might be misplaced. And I believe then that what we would do is when we begin the budget process, we consider how our goals would be funded and budgeted for the next fiscal year.
Yeah, I think the goals maybe are listed like on page 3 of the budget. The goals are listed and then you move from that. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the obtaining the PEG fees from the county for televised meetings, I believe we discovered that can't happen for another year, is that correct?
That's correct.
So I don't know whether that's relevant now. I forget exactly when they would maybe be eligible, but not like we thought.
I believe that they're accumulating a bank for us that would be able to release at the end of the year or near that time, sometime next year, yes. And some of these obtain additional staff and certification for the water department. I believe we did obtain additional staff at long last for Phil, and additional certifications are still to be desired.
So the additional staff, maybe that we don't. Water department's full now, right? Okay, so we could maybe cross off the additional staff because that's done.
Consideration of certification.
Leave that certification because they have to do that.
Personnel capabilities, yes.
And the earthquake repairs are still ongoing, right?
Yes.
We've not finished those. Yeah, it's already gone up significantly because they came here and said how they wanted to make it larger than what they said from what we agreed on originally, the size. So hopefully we'll have some kind of guesstimate to use for budgeting and when we do our water rate study.
That will be shortly.
Vern, any comment? Or?
Are we still planning on doing that in-house? Or
yeah, I've started working on it. Calculations aren't the main problem. The variables that go into it, the policy decisions of the variables are where the issues will come in.
Okay. Do you think that's still the way we should go as far as an in-house in-house or so, or should we bring that to the board to see whether we would need to do an in-house study or take it out of house to do it?
Well, the difference is about $40,000. If you want me to do it, you'll save the district about $40,000. The numbers aren't going to change.
I think in-house sounds pretty good to me.
Pardon?
In-house sounds pretty good to me.
You know, we could do it externally and get a consultant to do it, but as I said, it'll cost.
Well, what I fear is that if we do it in-house, the perception is not going to be the same as if we have it done out-of-house, as far as whether whether there's a confidence for the numbers. Not that they would be any different, but just the confidence for them. I'm just wondering if that's something we should be done out of house. I mean, most places do them out of house, and though I know that we're quite capable of doing them in house, I'm not sure how the board feels on this.
Well,
so whether we want to talk about this at an additional meeting or sometime or not.
Can we talk about this now?
Well, I can't. We can't make any decisions.
No, but we can talk about it. Give our opinion?
No, you can make a decision because it is on the agenda.
Okay.
It's one of the items that is listed right here at the goal settings.
Well, my opinion, for what it's worth, is I have a hard time justifying to my constituents that we would spend $40,000, that we have staff that's perfectly capable and competent to do it. We need money, so that'd be $40,000 more that we'd have to find a way to take care of. We have the fire department looking. We need to fund that. And we need to fund our part of Lopez Water. And I really would find it hard to justify spending $40,000 on an outside consultant.
I tend to agree.
I'm going to second that. And however, I'd like to throw $20,000 of that $40,000 into the Parks and Recreation.
All right. Yeah. I just know that when it comes to when these rates come through, although there's nothing we can do about it, it's still going to be very disheartening for many of us in the community, because we're not looking at a small rate increase.
Right.
And it's not just us, but it's all the other cities around Five Cities area as well. And any idea where they're at on theirs?
Yeah, they're trying to figure out how to get out of it. they know it's coming. I've talked to the city managers of several of the cities. They know they have to do it. They're waiting, as Director Angelo adequately pointed out. They're still spending money, so we still have kind of a moving target.
We're at the wrist-wringing and gnashing of teeth stage.
Okay.
We need a motion to accept these goals as is now. Do we need to do something with this?
If I might, staff can work these into the budget as recommendations in certain places. And if there's something that comes up that staff either doesn't recommend that you think should be recommended, or makes a recommendation that you feel should not be included, that's when the budget presented, that would be the time to move those either in or out.
Okay.
Can we just direct staff to proceed in that direction? Do we need to have a...
That's fine.
Okay. If that's the sense of the board. So directed. Thank you. Brings us to item 7, fire department items. And tonight I have the pleasure of presenting some awards to the various members of our fire department. And if I could ask Chief Steinhauser to come up to the front real quick. Member of the fire department, he served the citizens of Oceana with dedication, professionalism, caring, and in the highest traditions of the fire service. Brian, I'm pleased to present this award to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your service.
Okay. Do we want to? Okay. Well, I guess we'll have a group photo. The second one is for Captain John Bova. John, this is really a pleasure to present this to you. Service and dedication to the fire department is really appreciated. I know you've contributed on the fire task force in many things. This is OCSD Resolution 2005-10, commending Captain John Bova for distinguished service to the community of Oceano. And
goes on. John has had service here since October 1993. He's also an EMTD. He's come up through the ranks. And John is very respected in the community and in our associated fire departments. And I'm really pleased to present you this award, John. Thank you. The next one's for Anthony Moreno. This is for Firefighter of the Year, Oceano Community Services District Resolution 2005-04, Resolution of Congratulations to Anthony Moreno for his selection as OCSD Firefighter of the Year. Anthony? Thank you very much. Congratulations. This one is to Devin Meister. Devin? OCSD Resolution 2005-05, Resolution of Congratulations to Devin Meister for his selection as Rookie of the Year. And I have to say that I had the honor, not the pleasure, to watch Devin in action with the crew as one of my neighbors this very weekend, past weekend, had a fall and was severely injured. And Devin and the crew showed up in a matter of what seemed like seconds and stabilized the condition and got my neighbor to the hospital in a timely manner and very professional. And I was, as I say, it was an honor to watch that. Unfortunately, it was not a pleasure, but these guys did a great job. Thank you. Thanks, Devin. This is another one for Brian Leathers. This is going to be hard to do a double handshake here. But we'll work it out. OCSD Resolution 2005-06, Resolution of Congratulations to Brian Leathers for his selection as the recipient of the Manuel Vargas Award, which is a high honor among our fire department. And Brian, it's a pleasure to present this to you as well. Thank you. Last but not least, this is OCSD Resolution 2005-07, Resolution of Congratulations to John Bova for his selection as the recipient of the Chief's Dedication Award. Chief, I'll let you present the award.
This is actually for you to present. This is from the Board of Directors.
From the Board of Directors, it's my pleasure, John, to present this to you. Thank you, John. We'll have you guys
stay where they're at.
Good. Yeah. Go ahead, Chief.
Here we go. Don't blink. One more.
You don't tell them to blink, they blink.
Don't blink. One more.
Jeez. Okay.
Don't blink.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. You have an excellent crew.
Thank you.